Father, thank you that you surround us, envelop us. Hallelujah. You're always with us. Lord, help us to seek you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I have to say that your pastor was very nervous playing me today. I told him to do this early this year, and he, like usual, said no. But as he got into my character, light bulbs started going off. That's what happens when people follow my lead. Probably know who I am, but maybe not. Let me introduce myself. You can read about me. I'm on the first page of the Bible. And I'm on the last one, too. In fact, I mentioned 150 times in the Old Testament, 260 times in the New. I was there at creation. I was there just not at Jesus' birth, but his conception. I was there at the resurrection. And I'm going to be there when he comes back. You know who I am? I'm the third member of the Trinity, fully God. Now, I know that throws you off. I am the Holy Spirit. And Scripture says that I'm the one who inspired this book. I'm the one who hovered over the waters. I am the one who impregnated Mary. I am the one who rose Jesus from the dead. I am the one has the book of Revelation and saying, come, come before it's too late. But I know that messes you up. Because I said, God is one. So if God is one, how can he be three? Do the math. At your weddings, we say what? The two shall become one. Not one in number, but one in unity. We are one in unity. We're not fighting each other up there in heaven. And wow, when we wrote that in Deuteronomy, that God is one, the rest of the world believed that gods were many and that they were fighting and vying. The wind god against the rain god against the sun god. No! There's only one God. We are united. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We love each other. We support each other. We honor each other. Oh, please. Take the hint. And we're also one in unity and one in essence. Everything that you can say is true about God the Father. It's true about me. He's omnipotent. And I'm called the power of the Most High. He's all-knowing. And I'm called the Spirit who searches the deep things. He's everywhere at once. And David writes, and I gave him it, how can I or where can I go from your Spirit? We are one in unity. We are one in essence. We are one in exclusivity. There is no other. And I want you to get to know me. I don't know if you've read the King James, but they describe me as the Holy Ghost. In your culture and in your time, that just doesn't resonate, does it? I mean, a ghost is something that's scary, somebody who's dead, maybe a demon that moans and groans and tries to scare you. No. But please understand that the people back then, they didn't know what to do with my name. They translated in other places, spirit, 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 because you have a spirit, but they wanted to honor me. But sometimes when you honor me too high, you miss. I am the Holy Spirit. Spirit, when you have, when a loved one of yours dies and you see them there in the hospital bed or in the casket, you say things like, they're not here. Their spirit is with Jesus. What you're saying is the true them. I am the true God, the true person. You have feelings because I have feelings. I pray, I groan. You have thoughts because I have thoughts. I made this universe. You have a will, you have plans. Your brother Josh talked about purposes and desires and things you want to do because I have purposes and plans too. I am the holy person. And holy means two things. One, it means I don't sin. Thank you very much. But it also means I am out there. Holy means high and above and separate and different. And yet when you think about it, I'm the closest one of the Godhead to you. The Father is on his throne. Hallelujah. The Son came down and was born and lived so you could see and touch and feel. He died. He rose again, and he's back up in heaven. But who did they send? They sent me. And I get to be with you. You're my favorite. I made you. I know you. I love you. Now, if you read in the Bible, I have a whole bunch of different names. Now, the Father, Son, and I, all of us gave you so many names so that there will be an intersection, a connection. One name doesn't do it all. He's the Father. Whoa. He's the Creator. He's the Judge. He's the King. But what did Jesus say you could also call him? Abba, Daddy, Father. And the Son, he is the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He is the Lord of lords and King of kings. He's also the Lamb of God. And when you follow my lead and pushing and nudging and bow your knee to him, he's not only your Lord and Master and Savior, he is your shepherd, your lamb, and even your bridegroom. I don't know if you know this, but I said God is love, and we are love, and we love love. And what about me? What are my names? I have certain titles. I'm the advocate. I stand in your place. Jesus stands in your place. He did it on the cross. He's doing it now from heaven. But I stand in your place too. And your Father loves you. I am the breath of the Almighty. I am the comforter. The friend. The healer. The helper, the power of the Almighty. And then there's words that I use that go in front of my name to describe me a little bit better. I am called the Eternal Spirit. The Father, the Son, and I were together from eternity past to eternity future. I'm called the free spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I'm not here to bind you up. I'm here to free you up. I'm called the Holy Spirit, the good spirit, the sevenfold spirit. And sometimes I'm just called the Spirit. And there's descriptions that are put in front of my name, and then there's descriptions put after my name. Hold on. Listen to this. I'm the Spirit of adoption and the Spirit of burning. I'm the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the Son, the Spirit of the Father, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord God. I'm the Spirit of glory and grace. I'm the Spirit of holiness and also judgment. I'm the spirit of knowledge. I'm the spirit of life. I'm the spirit of promise. I'm the spirit of faith. I'm the spirit of the fear of the Lord. I am the spirit of prophecy and promise and truth and wisdom. Get to know me. And please learn from Abraham and Moses. When Abraham took Isaac up to the mountain and thought he would have to kill him, and we stopped him and showed him a ram, he called the father a new name. He called him Jehovah Jireh, meaning my God provides. And when Moses saw the defeat of the Amalekites, he said, he's Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, my banner. Be free. Give me more names. I'm the spirit who saved you in that car wreck. I'm the spirit who led you to your spouse. I am the spirit who revealed what you needed. I am your counselor. Get to know me. I want you just for a moment to bow your heads and maybe hold out your hand to receive. Try to look up. I know you're used to bowing with your head bowed, but remember how the Son did it. He lifted his head. And pray to me, your advocate, your breath from the Almighty, your comforter, your friend, your helper, your healer, the power of the Most High. I am free. I am good. I am holy. I am your adoption and the burning. I am the Spirit of Christ, the Son and the Father. I am glory and grace, judgment, knowledge, promise, prophecy, truth, and wisdom. And if you have accepted Jesus, you've been given me. Just take a deep breath. I made that air that you just breathed. I made those lungs that just took in that air. I made that blood that received that air. And I made the system so that when you do that, your heart rate actually starts to decrease. Chemicals get released in your brain that help you relax. I did that. I surround you. I love you. I'm in you. I'm for you. I'm through you. I'm to you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Now the Father, Son, and I made you a certain way. We made you with a body. We made you with a spirit, a soul. We made you with a mind and eyes and ears. Nose, the smell, a mouth, the taste. We made you both physical and spiritual, emotional and logical all at the same time. And that's why you resonate with songs and movies and poetry. You think in terms of pictures. It's how we made you. And so I just didn't give you some 35 names. I gave you some 10 symbols to help you understand what I'm like. You know what the first symbol is? Now, if you were God, if you were me, what would you pick out of all the animals in the world to represent me? When it came to the sun, we picked the lamb and the lion. When it came to me, we picked the dove. remember the second sentence of your Bibles? It says, and the Spirit of God was hovering. Do you know doves can fly for hours without rest? I have power and I have energy and I can hover for a long time. And the next time a dove is mentioned is when Noah, the waters are receding, and he sends out two birds. You remember them? The one was a raven, the other was a dove. One was black, the other was white. One was a scavenger, a bird who ate death. The other was a dove who ate grain and seeds, life. The raven never came back. That's my heart for you. As your brother Josh said, we all have that day. You have that day, but through me, you'll go right through that day. And when the dove does come back, what does it bring? An olive branch. And you still use that today to symbolize peace. And when Jesus followed our lead and got baptized, the Father said, this is my Son whom I love. In him I am well pleased. And the Father used words. Oh, and I used actions. And I came down upon him like a dove. Something you might not know about doves is they also have been using them for years, centuries, to give messages. I'm the messenger. I'm the message giver. You can take a dove and take him thousands of miles away from his home, and 95% of them will return. Something else, I'm loyal. Doves mate for life. When I enter you, it's for life and eternity. I don't mean to weird you out, but there's something else doves do. They actually feed their babies milk, both the male and the female. It's not that doves have breasts. No, they take their food, and I've made them to grind it in such a way that it turns into milk, and both the mother and the father feed their young from their beak. I want to feed you. I want to nurture you. I am the heavenly dove. Now, you've played the 20 questions, right? You know, animal, mineral. We've been playing that game for eternity. So if I'm an animal, what am I like? Well, I'm like a dove. But if I'm like a mineral, what am I like? Oh, I am like oil. I am the anointing. I am what softens you and beautifies you and gives you health. I oil you. I make things slide and work and flow. Oh, flow. I'm also water. When Jesus, it was the greatest day of the feast. It was when they took this bowl of water from the Pool of Siloam, and they thought Jerusalem was the bell, or that actually Israel was the belly of the earth, and that Jerusalem was its navel, and that the Pool of Siloam was where the water and where creation actually happened. And they went to that pool and brought the water, and they would pour it out. And when they poured it out, Jesus says, listen, anyone who believes in me will have rivers, just not a bowl, rivers of living water flowing from their gut. That's me. I'm water, but I'm just not a little bowl full. I'm a river. I am rain. I am rushing. Oh, rushing. I'm also different acts of nature, which are really acts of me. I'm a rushing, mighty wind. Whoa. I'm also fire. I purify. I energize. I illumine. And sometimes when I show up, I can't help myself, and I'm more than one at the same time because I'm that big. So on the day of Pentecost, there was a rushing, mighty wind. The house shook. Don't you understand? I could have blown that house up. I could have blown the universe up. I was holding back. But it just wasn't wind. I was fire. Oh, you don't know this. But the book of Isaiah explains it. Remember the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud? Isaiah tells you the insight. It was me. Fire and cloud all at the same time, giving you what you need in the moment. During the day, I am a cloud. I overshadow you. I give you coolness. At night, I am fire, giving you light and giving you heat, because the desert nights get cold. And when they did the tabernacle, it was so hard not to hold back. I came down in the cloud. It was so good. But Aaron and his sons fled in fright. I came on a little too hard, a little too heavy. Ah, do you know, one day I'm going to lead you into the Father's presence. And in your new body and in your spirit, you'll be able to stand the glow. Maybe the best way to get to know me is to read my book. I wrote it. And I made you to think in terms of movies and pictures. And so, in Genesis, you read about me hovering over the waters, because I'm going to bring light out of dark. I'm going to bring order out of chaos. I'm going to bring life out of lifeless. Where do you feel dark? Where do you feel chaotic? Where do you feel lifeless? Take a breath. Breathe in me, and I'll bring you life and light and order and direction. Oh, the next time I mention ain't so good. It's in Genesis chapter 6. It's when the people multiplied and they became violent and lustful. And we were giving people 900 years on average to come to me. And after 900 years of convicting and showing and them resisting and resisting, we finally said, that's enough. We're going to flood the earth and destroy you all unless you believe. And from this moment on, we'll give you 120 years. And now we give you 70 or 80. And you're still not coming. Next time I mention is at the end of Genesis. I'm not mentioned by a prophet or a priest or a patriarch. I'm mentioned by a pagan named Pharaoh. And after Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dream, Joseph says, the Spirit of God is in this man. He recognized me. Two reasons. One, because Joseph interpreted the dream that I gave Pharaoh. And secondly, he said, you know what we need to do? We need to start saving up now during the first 7 years of feast so we can make it through the 7 years of famine. And that's when Pharaoh said, whoa, the Spirit of God's in this man. Now, I'm going to say something that's going to be hard for some of you. You associate me with coming to church, amen, with reading the Bible, yes, with praying, that's right. You need to learn to associate me, too, with wisdom. I'm just not about the supernatural. I'm about the natural, because I made the natural too. I'm for logic. Some of my gifts are administration, organization, leadership. I'm called the Spirit of Wisdom. When you read in Proverbs, it says, when the Father was making all things, wisdom stood by his side. And many think of Jesus, and yes, Jesus is wisdom too. But I'm called wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. The Spirit of Wisdom was upon the Savior. It was me too. And if that doesn't quite resonate, then look at the next time I'm talked about is in Exodus, when Bezalel and Aholiab make the tabernacle. It was intense. It took woodworking and metalworking and tapestry and weaving. And it says that I filled them and gave them wisdom to do the job. Please, don't leave me here at church. Please, don't leave me after you've had your Bible study and think you have to get on to your day. I am your day. I made your day. I want to be in you and help you, not just in your Bible study, yes, I do, but in your home and in your hobbies, in your total life. I bring life. And that moves us to the book of Judges, a dark, dark time where people did what was right in their own eyes. But even then, I moved. I came upon Othniel, Gideon, and Jephthah. And in fact, don't mean to threaten your faith. Do you know who I came upon the most? Samson. In fact, it says that I came upon, but when it came to Samson, it says, I came mightily upon. Wait a minute. Wasn't Samson full of revenge and lust and anger? I'm trying to tell you something, my beloved. A lot of you think you can't have me until you get perfect. That you can't have me until you become the next Billy Graham or Mother Teresa. That you can't have me unless you really fast and you really pray. Get a hint. If I can come on Samson, maybe I can come on you too. What's the difference between you and Samson? And I hope there's a lot of differences as far as the lust and the anger and all that goes. Samson had something that most of you don't because you're Americans. You got so much stuff. You got so many aces up your sleeve. You only call on me when you're in a pinch, and you're not in a pinch that often. You always think you got something else you can do. Samson knew he had only me. He knew that if he didn't get me, he would be dead. He cried out in dependence and desperation. Oh, please, my dear ones, no, you need me. And I want to fill you. And we can move on. And I fill Saul, but Saul lost it. Then I come upon David. And David almost lost it, but he did repent. And I came upon the different prophets. But maybe my most favorite time is when I came upon a little 12, 13-year-old girl named Mary. And the power of the Almighty will overshadow you. And I picked the exact right egg and made the exact right male seed, and I put them together. Oh, the Father and I, it's begun. It's here. And when John the Baptist, who was just 6 months old in the womb, and Elizabeth heard Mary's voice, John the Baptist leapt for joy, and Elizabeth was filled with me and said, the mother of my Lord. And I was there helping Jesus in the carpenter shop and learning the trade and learning how to be human. And I was there at his baptism and then me coming down like a dove. And oh, this is one of the hardest parts. I was there when I said, go into the wilderness 40 days. No food. That's a hard part of my ministry, is sending you all out into the desert. It grieves my heart. It hurts, but it's for your good. Because it's in the desert you learn where you really are. It's in the desert you learn to believe when it doesn't look good. It's in the desert that you get the resolve and maturity and the growth. Don't fight me when I tell you to go into the desert. And then Jesus came out on the other side. And he said, everything I do by the Spirit. He could have said, everything I do because I'm the Son of God and I'm fully God. But he didn't say that. He said, I do everything I do by the Spirit, because he was telling you, you can too. It's how you can live. And if you think it was hard for me to lead Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan, you have no idea how it felt to lead him to the garden. To watch him pray. And moan and cry, and the sweat and the blood. But to also hear him say, not my will, but your will be done. And to lead him to Caiaphas' court, and then to Pilate's palace, and then to Calvary's cross. You don't know what it's like. When the sun went dark, we were still holding back. It was all that the Father and I could do not to let go of the universe and let everything rip apart. But we held it together. And we saw him get crucified and buried and put into hell. But on Easter Sunday morning, on Easter Sunday morning, I came back into that body I loved, into those mangled arms and legs, tortured brow and bruised back. And I had spoken, and the seal got broken. And the stone rolled back, and the guards fell down, and Jesus said, I'm alive. Oh, I don't know if you noticed this, but then Jesus, through me, still performing miracles and meets with the disciples for 40 days. And one time he brought them into the upper room, and he said, as the Father has sent me, I have sent you. And he breathes on them. How did I make you? I made a lump of clay. Oh, when we made light, we just spoke it. When we did all, we just spoke it. We just flung the stars into space. But when we made you, we formed you. We sculpted you. A beautiful lump of clay. And then it says, and God breathed. We gave you mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. The first thing Adam saw was my face. And so Jesus breathed on them, personal, and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And then right before he was taken up, he said, you wait in Jerusalem for the power of the Holy Spirit. And I came down. Did you ever notice the difference in Peter? He's a different guy with me inside of him. He's preaching, people getting saved. More people got saved in Peter's first, I don't know, hour or two of me and him than Jesus had in his whole 3 years. That's me. And Peter said the same thing. Come, for this promise is for you and for all who are far off, whoever calls on the name of the Lord. I'm the package deal. When you ask Jesus to save you, you get me to fill you. And then you can read about what Paul says. He says, walk in the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Be filled by the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. You need me. And I want to be needed. I am God, the third person of the Trinity. I am the Holy Spirit. and I didn't know exactly maybe how to say this to you. I was going to say, this is my job description, but I know how some of you feel about jobs. So these are my hobbies. This is my passion. This is what I love to do. I love to create. I love to make things. In eternity, I will make all things new over and over and over, and I'll never wear out or run out of ideas. I love to give you new life. I convict. I've been sent into the world to convict, to convince, to woo, to bring every last person to Jesus. And then I baptize you, I pour over you, I am the Father's gift to you, I indwell you, I teach you, I guard you, I lead you. And I love it. Don't quench me. Don't push me aside. Don't be afraid. I don't know if you know who Elihu was, but he was one of Job's friends. He was the youngest of the four. And the father, son, and I, we rebuked the older three. Everything they said was true. It just wasn't applicable to Job. But we didn't rebuke Elihu. And Elihu said, and you can read it in your Bibles in Job 33, verse 4. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. The Spirit of God made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Where did Elihu get that from? He meditated on my word and how I hovered over the waters, how I breathed life into Adam, and he saw it. I've been made by the Holy Spirit too. And not only have I been made by the Holy Spirit gives me life now. The Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life. Can you say that with me? The Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life. Heavenly Father, thank you for this privilege. Thank you, holy dove. Hover over us. Holy Spirit, holy anointing. Anoint us, pour over us, soothe us, limber us up. Holy Spirit, water poured from the Father and the Son, flow from our inner being, like Jesus said, from our belly up and out. Blow through our lives. Burn your fire. Burn up what needs to be burnt up, but then consume us with an energy for you that never runs dry, just like the burning bush. Bring down your cloud and your pillar. Baptize, pour, fill, lead. Come upon us mightily. We love you, Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit is nudging you right now and convicting you and saying you need to believe in Jesus, don't push him away. He is your life. Believe in Jesus. And pray as the Holy Spirit is helping you pray, Lord Jesus, I need you. Lord Jesus, I'm in trouble. Lord Jesus, my life is a mess. Yes, it is dark and chaotic and I'm out of breath. And let the Holy Spirit help you trust in Jesus who died for you and he rose again. See Jesus wrapping his arms around you, forgiving you, and then also see him saying, receive the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, fill us up. Pour into us, we pray. Thank you. And if you're praying that for the first time and you want to really get connected to Jesus, get connected to his people, tell others about it, get to church, get baptized, own your faith, and follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. In Jesus' name, for his honor and his glory, and for us to bring more to him. And all God's people said, amen and amen. The Holy Spirit loves worship. That's what we're going to do next. So it's worship in the Spirit. Jeff and Veronica, if you'd like to come up, if you need prayer, let the Holy Spirit lead. He's not out to get you. He's out to give to you. He's close to you. You be close to him. He knows you. Get to know him. Let's stand and pray.